your Bibles right now. Open them up, book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. It's a good thing you said to do that last chorus a cappella. I stopped my whistling at that point. Sometimes. Ephesians, chapter number 5. We will go to verse number 21, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own bodies, their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. But no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Our Father, I pray that you would guide and direct and bless us as we go through this passage of Scripture. I pray that we would all listen, understand this is the Word of God. It comes from you, and you created marriage, and you are the one who has set up how it is to be run. Guide and direct and bless us as we talk about these things. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Kids say the darndest things. You've heard that before. Here's a bunch of kids. Let's see, Alan, age 10. He was asked, how do you decide who to marry? His answer was, well, you got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she should like that you like sports. And she should keep the chips and dip coming. Kirsten, age 10, same question. No person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. Camille, age 10. What is the right age to get married? 23 is the best age to get married because you know the person forever by then. Freddie, age 6. No age is good to get married at. You got to be a fool to get married. Derek, age 8, how can a stranger tell if two people are married? You might have to guess based on whether they seem willing to be yelling at the same kids. Lori, age 8, what do you think your mom and dad have in common? Both don't want any more kids. Lynette, age 8, what do most people do on a date? Dates are half for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. Martin, age 10. On the first date, they just tell each other lies, and that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. Craig, age 9. What would you do on a first date that was turning sour? I'd run home and play dead. The next day, I would call all the newspapers and make sure they wrote about me in all the dead columns. Pam, age 7. When is it okay to kiss someone? When they're rich. Kurt, age 8, the law says you have to be 18, so I wouldn't want to mess with that. The rule goes something like this. If you kiss someone, then you should marry them and have kids with them. It's the right thing to do. That was Howard, age 8. Anita, age 9, is it better to be single or married? It is better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. Calvin, age 8, how would the world be different if people didn't get married? There sure would be a lot of kids to explain, wouldn't there? Ricky, age number 10, how would you make a marriage work? Tell your wife she looks pretty even if she looks like a truck. Verse 21 is the key to this passage of Scripture. Verse number 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this truly is, like we talked about last week, a sign of being filled with the Spirit. Now remember, being filled with the Spirit is not some kind of a mystical, magical takeover where the Holy Spirit takes over your life and you turn into some kind of zombie or robot and walk through life doing everything right. Being filled with the Spirit means you are totally in submission to the authority of God's Word, and you are obeying it all the time. Amen. And God's Word tells us here we need to be submitted one to another. As we said last week, this really means it's not all about you. It's not all about me. And the best way to make a marriage work is to realize it's not all about me. Come on. And that's what the Bible's telling us here. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. It's not all about me. Mutual submission. All doing their part. All working together for the family's good. Submitted to the Word of God, which means submitted to the Spirit, and submitted one to another. So let's take a closer look at that word submission and how it relates to marriage. So number one, the matter of submission. The matter of submission. Submission in creation. Submission in creation. Go back to Genesis chapter number 2. Way back to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Go to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Someone said one time that Adam and Eve had the perfect marriage. Okay? She never had to listen to how his mother made it. And he never had to listen to all the guys she could have married. Okay? Sounds about right. Adam was created by God to have the lead role, to be the head. Eve was created to have a supporting role. The word help meet is used. It means a complement. It means someone who makes up where the other one has weaknesses. But each, understand, each of them is consumed with the love for the other in a world where sin and selfishness do not exist. That's the only way that submission works. In a world where sin and selfishness don't exist. Now, can that happen today in our lives? The answer is yes. It doesn't because we're stinking selfish human beings. But it can happen. And according to the Word of God, it should happen. Submission at creation. That's how God created us. Submission after corruption. Submission after corruption. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Verse 16, after the sin, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, from out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." In the fall of man, Eve took the lead role and took the fruit. Adam took the supporting role and took the fruit. You read the account, it says that when she took the fruit and ate, and the serpent was talking to her, Adam was standing right there with her. It doesn't say he was off somewhere else. She took and gave to him. It was just one easy step. She takes the lead role, he takes the supporting role, and everything gets messed up because of it. It says in verse number 16, as God talking to Eve, he says, thou shalt desire to rule over him. The word desire there in Genesis chapter 16, the Hebrew word means to seek to control. The moment that sin enters in the world, the woman seeks to control the man at that point. The word rule is a new word in the Bible to this point. It means to dominate, to control. And because of sin, the battle of the sexes begins. Right there in the garden because of sin. We've already seen God's desire, God's plan in creation messed up by sin. Which brings us to submission after conversion. Submission after conversion. We go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and he tells us, I want you to go back to the way it was before sin. I want you to go way back before corruption and live the way I designed, live the way I planned, live the way I set things up. God's desire when you get saved is to restore the original design. What was that original design? Well, we've already said it. The husband is in the lead role. The wife is in the supporting role. But both are consumed by love in the absence of sin and selfishness. Can that take place now that we're saved? Absolutely. It can. John would write, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. Now, can we live a life without sin? Yeah. Yes. Because God wouldn't command us to if we couldn't do it. Do we? Sadly, no. Because we're consumed by sin and selfishness. We're consumed by pride. We all want our own way. But God said, no, your way is no good. I know what's best. I created you. I designed you. I set it all up. I've saved you. You can live a life without sin and selfishness, and here is how you do it. Amen. Amen. The husband is to be in the lead role. The wife is to be in the supporting role, all without sin and selfishness. Wow. Number two, the meaning of submission. The meaning of submission. It is not the man saying, I'm the queen of the king of the castle. It is not the wife saying, I'm the queen bee. You got to listen to me. The husband is to live a life without sin and selfishness. The wife is to live a life without sin and selfishness. The Greek word for submission is hupotasso. It means to line up under. It's a military word. It means to fall in rank. It means to means battle stations. Not to battle each other, because you're on the same side. Amen. Means to get ready to fight the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil because they're coming after you. It's just that simple. We need to understand that. So very often the wife asks, you know, do I become a doormat in this? If I've got to submit to the husband, do I become a doormat in all this? Well, let me answer that by pointing out the positive attitudes that we're supposed to have in both the husband and the wife in this idea of submission. And remember, mutual submission is what we're talking about here. Okay? So first of all, submission is a matter of function and role. Submission is a matter of function and role. It's not, I'm the king of the castle, make me a sandwich, woman. It's not it. God set up the roles. God set up the positions. God set up the functions. If you've got an argument, if you don't like it, don't take it up with me. I'm just the messenger. God said it in his word, and he said it rather clearly, did he not? Submission, secondly, is an attitude of sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. It is never to be my way or the highway. Ever. Let's face it. You've got men and women coming into a relationship from different backgrounds, from different families, and men and women are different all by themselves. If you've not noticed that, we can talk later. Men and women are different. They think differently. Okay? I often illustrate that by saying, if you walk into a group of 20 men and there's a conversation going on, I can pretty much guarantee you one guy is talking and the rest are listening. You walk into those 20 men's 20 wives and you'll have five or six conversations going on, and every woman in the room knows what's going on in every conversation. Okay? They know all what's going on. To a man, shopping means going into a store, getting what you want, and getting out. And if you need the item, you'll gladly pay $2 if it's worth a dollar. To a woman, shopping means, let's see, men, let me define it where you can understand it, hunting. Okay, you go into the store, and she likes the first thing she sees, but she's got to make sure it's not something better somewhere else, somewhere in that store, in the next 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 store, and continuing on. And she will gladly pay a dollar for a $2 item if it's on sale, even if she doesn't need it. Just men and women are different. They think differently. Families think differently. Have you noticed that? Families think differently. You know which family is normal? Mine. You're all weirdos. That's how we think. Come on. If you don't do it like me, you don't do it like our family, then you're strange. Isn't that what we all think? So we bring a man and a woman, come from different family backgrounds, each saying, I want to do it my way, and you get this, boom. Now, sweet reasonableness. Sweet reasonableness. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? That's mutual submission. That is understanding it's not all about me. It's not all about me. It's all about God's glory and the betterment of my spouse. Amen. Submission, number three, is my responsibility. It's my responsibility. Everybody say my. One, two, three. That was weak, but we'll take it. Submission is my responsibility. It is not my job to make her submit. It is my job to make sure I'm submitted, that I'm performing my role, that I'm doing my function, that I'm in line with God's word and doing what I'm supposed to do every single time. Amen. It's not my job to say, woman. Never works anyway. But anyway, that's another story. We've got to understand. Submission is my responsibility. And everybody decides to take it on as my responsibility, it will be done. Amen. Number three, the method of submission. The method of submission. Well, he covers wives first, so let's go ahead and do the exact same thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22 once again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, submit through support. Wives submit through support. We're told here in verse 24, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Did you catch that? As you would submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, you submit to your husband in a supporting role as God has designed it. Again, tell me where I said that wrong. It's not me. This is God's word. And we've got to follow God's word. Amen. We submit through support as to the Lord, as God's delegated authority. Verse 23 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? It's a realization of he's not Lord, but God has placed him as his delegated authority in this home. It's God's idea. It's God's plan. It's God's role. So when I go ahead and submit to God, I will submit in this way as well. As the church is submitted to Christ, we're told in verse number 24. Just like the church is submitted to Jesus Christ, the wives are to submit in service to their husband. Then he says in verse number 24, in everything, God's words, not mine. Now, notice the submission is to your own husband, not to every man, and not to somebody else in any way, shape, or form. To your husband. And if you're not married and you don't have a husband, guess what? It doesn't apply to you. It's just that simple. Wives submit through support. Husbands submit through sacrifice. Husbands submit through sacrifice. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. The husband is to take the lead role. And in the Word of God, what you have to understand is the word authority means responsibility. The word authority does not mean I'm in charge, submit. The word means I'm in charge, so I've got to protect you. I've got to take care of you because I am responsible for you. You get the difference there? That's the mutual submission. It's not that I'm in charge and I sit in the easy chair waiting to be served. No, I'm responsible. And that responsibility also means answering to God one day on how I fulfilled my role, how I functioned in the family according to the way he set things up. He tells the husbands here to love as Christ. Just like Jesus Christ loved the church and did what? Gave himself for it. The husband is to love the wife and give himself for her in all things. Amen. Jesus Christ laid aside basically all rights. While he did claim to be God here on earth, and because he is God, he no longer said, he did not say, don't you know who I am? Submit to me. That wasn't his message. His message was to come and die. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's the attitude that the husband brings into marriage. I'm here to serve. I'm here to sacrifice when necessary. And that even means willing to die for. Willing to die for. There are some who have no problem dying for their wife. Living for their wife, that's another story. But dying would be easy. Now, that willing to die for means willing to live for. Too many husbands, instead of sacrificing for the wife, end up sacrificing the wife in their vision to do whatever they want to do. And that is simply sin. Simply sin. Sacrifice is the key word there. The old story about the young man talking to his girlfriend on the telephone and saying, you know, I'd climb any mountain for you. I'd cross any ocean for you. I would go ahead and just do anything to be with you. And finally she asks, can you come over? And he says, what are you kidding? It's raining. That's how often we feel. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It's the actions God is talking about here. And the husband must be willing to sacrifice for the good of the wife. Wow. Now, again, previous point, submission is my responsibility. At no time should either the husband or the wife say, didn't you hear the pastor this morning? Here's what you're supposed to do. It's not supposed to happen. Amen. And yet it does. We need to understand, I need to do my job because God has told me to do my job. And I will answer to God for how I perform my job, my role, my function in the family. He said, husbands, you are to love your wives as your own body. In verses 28 and 29, the word nourish pictures a mother nurturing a baby. The word cherish carries the idea of a bird making a nest and making sure those chicklets are fine, warm, fed, taken care of. The responsibility for them. He said, love her as much as you love yourself. Wow. Wow. The male ego is a pretty big thing. Do I get any amens there? It really is. But what are we to do with that ego? We're to set it aside because it's not all about me. It's not all about me. It's all about my spouse. Again, I'm responsible for my submission. Doesn't work any other way. The word there, love, is the word agape. Selfless love. A steadfast love. A serving love. Amen. And he says, in all of this, when the husband and the wife are in mutual submission one to another, the home can be a heaven on earth, which will preach volumes to a world that needs to see what true Christianity does to a man and a woman. Amen. That's what they need to see. Homes that work right. They're only going to see them when ours does. And ours will only work right when we make them work right. And whose responsibility is it to make them work right? Mine. Mine. Everybody say mine. That's what it is. 21, verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not all about me. My job is to do my job. Does that make sense? My role, my function, my position is to do what God has told me to do in His Word. And it's no mistake, it's no accident, it's no coincidence that this comes right on the heel of being filled with the Spirit of God. Because we can't do it without it. And again, being filled with the Spirit of God is coming under total submission to the authority of God's Word. Amen. God set this up. He knows what He's doing. Amen. We just have to submit to it. And our job, my job, is to do my job. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Christ. Thank You for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You for designing this for us and telling us how it works best. Lord, many people have their own ideas, and many books have been written, and many ideas and thoughts have been put out there by people who think they know what they're talking about. But if they're not in line with Your Word, they don't know what they're talking about. Help us to get that and realize that. It doesn't matter who we can find that will agree with us. What do You say? What does Your Word say? Because we're only truly filled with the Spirit when we are completely submitted to the authority of the Word of God in our lives. Help us to understand, this is what You want. This is what You desire. And it's not because You're a mean taskmaster. It's because You know what's best for us. And when we do it Your way, we can find out what's best for us and what the home really can be like. Guide and direct and bless us as we move forward seeking to live a life that pleases You and seeking to live a life that shows the world Christ makes a difference. He can change your home. Come, trust Christ as Savior. Lord, work in us that the world might see Jesus Christ in us at all times. We'll thank You and we'll praise You for it. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.